to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, November 17th, 2019, by the Reverend Ann Weber.
Now, it was probably too early for any of you late service people to see, but we had an absolutely beautiful sunrise this morning. It was absolutely gorgeous. And as I looked at that sunrise, I remembered a day many years ago. And it was a beautiful sunrise and a beautiful day, and I was out walking. I was a student nurse, and I was coming to the end of night duty and going on some days off. And I was walking thinking, God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. That afternoon, there was a knock on my door, and my father and a couple of friends were there to say that my mother had been killed in a car crash. The world as I knew it was turned upside down. Those good old words from REM. A lot of what we hear in today's reading is about our world being turned upside down. And we've all experienced it or will experience it in some way or another, not necessarily a catastrophic accident, but the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, all those who are victims of gun violence, those enduring the weather changes, the floods in Venice or the fires in California, losing their homes, seeing devastation. Paul often says when he reads the news on his Facebook, on his iPad, not the paper anymore, the whole world's gone mad. And that's what it feels like a lot of the time when we read the news and see what's going on in the world. The whole world has gone mad. The world we know is ending. It has done throughout history, and it will do in the future, because change is always happening. And wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes, natural disasters are always happening. So how do we make sense of the readings we heard in today's scriptures? How do we read scripture and understand them? Read, mark, and inwardly digest them, ruminate on them. Now, I expect many of you, like me, were brought up in what's called the earlier paradigm, the earlier way of reading scripture. And that influences our relationship with God. Some of you will have heard Marcus Borg when he's come to the diocese to present a different way of reading scripture. And I've written this down because I can never remember the order in which it's put. You know, age does that to you. How do you see the Bible's origin? Many of us were brought up seeing it as a divine product with divine authority. But it really is a human response to God. It's written by human beings and their experiences in their life and the life of their community. A response to God, the human response to God. How do we interpret the Bible? Is it revelation of doctrine and morals? Or is it historical, metaphorical? And by historical, they don't mean facts as we understand history. They mean telling the story of who they were and who they are. You know, how many of you have heard your grandparents' stories of what happened in the past or to their great-grandparents? It's passed on by word of mouth. And as the Native Americans say when they're telling their tribal history, I don't know if it actually happened this way, but I know it to be true. We limit God. We tend to limit God, especially if we believe in biblical literalism. Because if it's literal, factual, is the opposite to historical. My new glasses, I can't see properly. Historical and metaphorical. If it's literal and factual, we're limiting God. Because the language we use changes over time. The language that is written, the reading in Thessalonians, sounds horrific, doesn't it? Don't live a life of idleness. That isn't what it actually says. The Arabic and Hebrew, the Aramaic and Hebrew, translates idleness as disruptive, disorder. And actually the whole passage is a pun. It's a play on words. We lose that in our translation. So when we believe it is literally the word of God, dictated down, rather like the Quran, we're missing out, we're limiting God to the language we understand. But it's ever evolving. Language doesn't stay static. Think of words that we have used in the past, or I have in my age bracket, that have changed their meaning. How many of you understand the word gay to be happy and joyful? If you think of it from today's meaning, it means differently. It means the LGBTQ community. So our understanding of how we write language changes. And that affects our relationship with God. All of it does. When I was growing up, the biblical and Christian emphasis was on an afterlife and what to believe or do to be saved. And believe was an intellectual consent to what we were told. You know, believe these six unbelievable things before breakfast, something like that. Actually, believe, according to Marcus Borg, originates from the word beloved. I love the one about whom this is written, rather than give intellectual consent to something which science may have proved impossible. Even though with God all things are possible. But rather look at reading scripture and meditating on it as a process of transformation. It's a transformation in this life through relationship with God. All we do is to encourage and point to a relationship with the divine. And Jesus shows us how to do that with his life. And we're called to take that life into the world. And what does Jesus teach us? Compassion, a thirst for justice, a love of mercy, bringers of peace. All we need to hear, and love, of course, as Michael Curry says, love is central. And that's what we need to hear in this day and age when the world's gone mad, where anger and violence and hatred seem to permeate every society. As Christians, with our relationship to the divine, we're called to see the possibilities of God in changing that, in turning it around. as Isaiah said to the people of Israel who were just returning from exile because they'd abandoned God, they'd been exiled, they were returning to a Jerusalem and a temple that was destroyed. The life as they knew it had gone. But his message is one of hope, because all things are possible with God. Don't dwell on the destruction. Look to the future with hope, because with God all things are possible. In the passage we heard from Luke, Luke is putting words in Jesus' mouth that talk about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70. Now Luke is writing this gospel 20 years after this happened. He'd seen the destruction. He'd seen the persecution that those early Christians were undergoing. And he's giving them hope. The end of the world as we know it doesn't mean the end. Even death doesn't mean the end. Not a hair on your head will be harmed. Because of the resurrection, we have life even in death. He's giving a message of hope. That's what we're all called to do. When the world as we know it, and when you're old, it seems to be changing and ending completely differently, going onwards, you know, technology and all the rest of it. We're called to take the message of hope and say, with God, all things are possible. Even when things seem at their worst, good can come out of it. And the Bible is there to change us. It's not to... William Willimon says, the Bible isn't there to give you information. It's there to change you, to bring you into a new relationship with God. And through that change, we become, as the Eastern Orthodox say, more like God. That's the aim, to be transformed into the image of Jesus, of God, and take that image into the world. We can change all the negative, disastrous things that are going on in this world one person at a time by taking the message of hope and of the possibilities of God working in our lives and the world around us. May we all have the courage to take that love, compassion, mercy, and justice, and share it and spread it among those like us, those unlike us, those we disagree with. Because that's what we're called to do. May it be so. Amen.